Hey weirdos, how's it going? Hope your weekend was good. It's been fun fishing finally in Wisconsin. It's a great time. Before I start, I'm not going to do the advertising for Amazon.com, but go to a podcast page on www.bassquadcorp.com. Click on the link that says, or click on the podcast link on the banner or whatever. I'm a little scatterbrained. Click on the Amazon.com logo and order some stuff. It'll help us out. You don't got to pay anything extra. Keep this podcast free. Thanks. Also, check out profoundoutdoors.com/BassSquad LLC. And I mean, I'm not one to speak of their crankbaits or the stuff that I haven't used because I'm not that type of person. I don't just pimp something because I'm associated with it. But I have used their jigs. I pretty much use exclusively. They are phenomenal, phenomenal jigs, especially if you're into like skipping docks or any type of shallow water cover swimming jigs. The Klein Creature swim jig is outstanding. I caught a pretty nice one on it this weekend. It also skips really well, but I prefer just the flipping jigs actually for swimming and for skipping docks because their head design is perfect for all that. So check them out. If you want to become associated, become a vendor, hit us up on Twitter, Facebook. That would be great. Just research the company a little bit, profoundoutdoors.com. Also on our website, we had a tournament this weekend with Adam of Bass Bites. He changed the prices up a little bit for the AK rigs, and he slashed it by like $4. So they're pretty relatively cheap for the quality of product you're gonna get. Check it out on the page. I did some little tweaking on the page that he wanted. So it's what you do is you just go to www.bassquadcorp.com. Like always, when I say that, I should just say the website. And click on the shop. You'll see our T-shirts and stuff. But then like there's a little drop down box that says Bass Bites Lures. So check that out. They're pretty sweet stuff. So. Yeah, so onto the podcast. I was up in Stevens Point this weekend fishing on the river, Wisconsin River, for a club for a tournament that benefits the UWSP Bass Club. And I'll go over that in a second. I want to just first start by shouting out to Jason, the club president. He puts on a great event, and he's really blossomed as a president of the club. And I'm really happy to see all the strides that the club has made. We were a little worried when, you know, Ted and I and the people that started the club about 6 years ago, we were a little worried to hand it off to someone completely new that we weren't. I mean, we were friends with him, but he was a freshman. And so I'm glad to see that he's taken that into stride and he's doing a phenomenal, phenomenal job. And UWSP is getting recognized on every major college fishing publication. So Great to see that, and Jason, if you're listening, keep up the good work, Jason Hawksford, and good luck down in Pickwick. You got three teams going. I know Jason Hawksford and Cody Lincoln are going, Cody Hunter and Mark Hugus are going, and honestly, I don't know the other team, and I apologize greatly, so please forgive me, whoever else is going, Oh, and also before I get onto that tournament that I had fished, I have been listening to a lot of like just trying to get my, you know, not give back, but do what I got to do to listen to other podcasts and try to support them. And I came across one that I was really, 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 really a fan of, Outdoor Scoreboard. It's a podcast you can go to on their website. I think it's theoutdoorscoreboard.com, and I apologize if that's wrong. Otherwise, they're on Facebook. Matt Ellis is one of the hosts. And, it's basically just a podcast that picks an interview, does it for 20 minutes, and then kind of talks about just random stuff with fishing and anything in the industry. And they also kind of do Elite Series wrap-up, which is good to hear. I mean, it's a little different from ours, and That's a good thing. I mean, there's a lot of options out there, what you want to do, and that if you want to just get your fix of guys talking about the Elite Series, that's a good one to go. So check out the Outdoor Scoreboard, and it's a pretty solid podcast. Forgot what I was going to say. I was going to say something else about about that, but it escapes my mind. So, anyways, yeah, so we fished on, it was like an, it just benefits the club, so it's a 80% dockside, and however many boats show up on the Wisconsin River on the, in Stevens Point, and it's not an easy body of water by any stretch of the imagination. It's a river system, and largemouth and smallmouth, obviously, a lot of people go for just the smallmouth. They're a little bit fairly easy, not easy, I want to say, to catch, but they're a little bit more simple than the largemouth. So, but, you know, Adam and I, we've fished it, you know, there's a reason why I didn't do so hot in college is because the river was right in my backyard. We figured it out pretty good. We've over the last few years. And so we get there and, you know, our main focus all the time is just go for largemouth. But last year in our largemouth spot, there was just a heavy pot of pre-spawn smallmouth that we stumbled on. So we got lucky last year. So we kind of went, put our eggs into that basket where we would expect those smallmouth to show up again, because the water temperature was around 49 to 55, depending on where you were. And that's what about what it was last year. So anyways, we get there, and because of all the winter weather and the rain and all the garbage storms and all that, stuff that happened this winter, all of the spots that we fished were just totally changed because the backwater had some current and it must have raged through, and all the stumps that we've fished, a lot of it's completely changed. And it washed the smallmouth area because there was like a little rock pile in the middle of the channel that was in the, way back in the backwaters. And it was just out. It was gone. So we had just grinded down, started flipping, and catch like a 2.5-pound largemouth right away. And then about 2 hours later, another like a 3-pound, 4-ounce largemouth we caught. So anyways, we had two good bites, which is kind of good for that. I don't know. It's hard to, if you guys are from, you know, down south or anything like that, it's a totally different body of water, totally different mindset up here in some spots, in some places, especially on the Wisconsin River. It's one of those tournaments where you're expecting to get 5 bites, and 14 pounds is usually pretty good out there. And so we just grinded, and probably not the best thing that happened. We got a largemouth bite early because then, you know, we grinded more because we figured, okay, they're in here. You just got to get them to bite. So you'd flip every tree 20, 30 times each. And it was just not an easy road. And we've been there before, and we know that it just turns on. But turns out this never turned on. So around 1 o'clock, we've hit all of our spots. We basically, what you do out there is you have a bunch of one fish spots, and you just run them all day. Or either there's two trains of thought. You just run every spot you've caught fish on before, flip the tree 20, 30 times, move, just buzz around all day. Or you can just sit there and grind it out, which we've done both and been pretty successful doing either one. But so turns out it wasn't the right call to grind it out. And so we're buzzing, we're flying around. Well, 2-3 years ago, I found a spot near the launch kind of that holds a good population of smallmouth, like pretty much year round. There's like a, it's like a deep basin near a dam, and there's a lot of old logging rock piles back there, and the smallmouth just don't have any reason to leave the area, so they're pretty much just residential. 2-pounder is basically the biggest you're going to get back there. The giants that you get on that river are mixed in with the largemouth. They're the river fish. They roam around, they feed, they sit in the main river channels in the summer, I'm pretty sure, and then they go up in the shallow. But this population of smallmouth kind of just live in this little basin area. So we ran all the way there, which is about, you know, a 5-6 mile run, which isn't very much, but you're talking about a treacherous river filled with stump fields and all that. And I got a story about the stump fields. Don't let me forget, guys. Make sure you remind me. But yeah, so we ran there. We had 2 bites all day. And then, you know, we go get our limit of smallmouth real quick. It was a bang, bang, bang type of thing. But we kind of figured 14, 15 pounds would win. So what we did was we scrapped that, got those 15 to 16 inches, filled out our limit pretty quickly. You know, we figured we had around 11 pounds at the time. So we ran back to largemouth. Well, it wasn't happening still. So we waited until 2:55 and we were going to run back. Well, right around my last cast, I caught a random lucky 17-inch smallmouth on a chatterbait. It hit right by the boat, and I just instinctively swung it right in, and it fell off in the boat and everything, all that jazz, and it wasn't really climactic. You know, every time we've done well out there, and every time we've kind of discussed this before, but when you win a tournament, you got that moment that happens that you just can't really describe, where you just kind of know you won, you kind of know you feel, you know, something deep inside you feels like you got it. And there was never really that moment with this tournament, so we were kind of feeling dejected. Well, anyways, we run back to the launch. It's 2:59:55. I mean, it was right on time. And, I mean, we got the area down to a science as far as what takes how long to run. And we run through a stump field, basically, that nobody else would run through. But because we've been out there so often, and I don't condone it to people when they ask about how to run the backwaters and run certain things, it's a real treacherous river. And we run right, basically right over the stumps, where you can reach out and grab a stump if you really wanted to. But we know the line. It's one of those things where if you pulled off a pad, you would rip your lower unit right off. And it's just kind of unnerving thinking about that kind of stuff when you're trying to run as fast as you can back to the launch. Well, it turns out we ended up actually winning the tournament, and which was awesome. I mean, it's a great feeling to have, but it was just one of those weird things where there was really never that moment. And I kind of like to I love to attribute when, you know, you know you have it, and this was just a really strange tournament. But yeah, hats off to all the guys that showed up. I really appreciate it, and, you know, people that support our club and support just things. I mean, it's not a great body of water, and we all know that. And I mean, I like it just because the simple fact is it's I love tough bodies of water. That's my kind of wheelhouse, is just to sit there and grind it out. But yeah, so that was that tournament. And then Sunday I come back home and I'm practicing for a league tournament that I have on Tuesday, and I caught some absolute gigantic smallmouth, and it's kind of like a little momentum here. I got a little bit of momentum going. I'm feeling good, and I got a tournament tonight and tomorrow, and then I got this weekend. I'm probably going to practice more on this body of water. It's kicking out some monster smallmouth, and I kind of brought it up last week on the podcast, but it's a good deal. I don't know. It's pretty outstanding. So what I kind of wanted to do is, I don't know if you guys have been paying any attention to the, it stopped with the nerd report this week. I didn't really have anything to say. I listened to Joe Rogan's podcast with Aubrey Marcus, and if you guys want a motivating thing, listen to that. That's a pretty solid podcast today. It was, Aubrey ended up getting a little bit emotional talking about just a certain thing, and it was just cool to see somebody have raw emotion on a radio show. So check it out. It's on JRE 496 or 498, one of those two. It's on his website, joerogan.net. Check it out, please. Yeah, you guys will like it if you guys are into philosophical thinking or comedy or anything like that. So, talking a little fast this week. I got a frog and rod to redo, and I got some rods to rig up and stuff. I got the tournament tonight, and it's supposed to be brutal weather tonight. But anyway, so I've been watching the basketball playoffs. If anybody else is an NBA fan, it's okay. The first round was pretty awesome. You had what, five series go to seven games, which is unheard of in the first round. You had the Dallas series and the Dallas San Antonio series, which was awesome to watch. Houston Portland, which was even crazier. In some respects, I mean, just the whole like production of the NBA playoffs for me is like the best, you know, best on TV. So I'm a big OKC fan. I mean, I'm not a bandwagon jumper. If anybody wants to give me that, I can talk to you about anything about that team. I've been a Russell Westbrook fan since I've been at UCLA, and I kind of just adapted the Kevin Durant. I'm kind of a big Kevin Durant fan now, just because I really like Russell Westbrook and watched him basically since he's been in Seattle. So, but if you guys don't, I have this, I don't really like LeBron James, but I respect what he does and everything like that. But his Hall of Fame, or his, eventual Hall of Fame speech is probably going to be similar, but his MVP speeches the last 2 years were kind of, I don't know. I really like watching guys achieve something, and like the Dennis Rodman Defensive Player of the Year speech when he was on the Pistons, one of my favorite things. Dennis Rodman's Hall of Fame speech, one of my favorite things to watch. But Durant's MVP speech was something where it just tugged at your heartstrings. It was an awesome display of of just him being humble, never mentioned himself, you know, basically told Russell Westbrook, I got your back, because people give him shit a lot about shooting too much and that, and it was awesome. It makes me want to pull for the Thunder way more now. But anyways, the guys were talking about the radio, or the talking heads on the Four Letter Network was talking about, you know, that the playoffs don't necessarily have momentum attached to they basically said that it's in-game momentum, not it doesn't carry over. And to me, that's just, I don't know if it's the truth for basketball. I mean, it may be, but to me, when a team's running hot, a team's running hot. It doesn't matter. And it kind of attributes back to bass fishing, where if you're on a hot streak, which tonight I feel like I've been doing really well lately, so I have the extreme confidence that I'm going to do well tonight. And whenever I feel that way, it, you know, sometimes it materializes, sometimes it doesn't, but it can bite you in the ass sometimes also. But my buddy Jason, who's been on the podcast, Jason Brennick, a part of Army Bass Anglers, he's been just downright destroying everybody on the every tournament he enters. He just says, he goes, you know what, I can't do anything wrong sometimes. It just, you ride that wave, and pardon the fishing pun, but it's definitely true. I mean, it's kind of been a ongoing theme about the podcast that existential, like, you can't really measure what riding the wave is, and for someone to just deny that based on stats is just stupid. And I don't know. I like to think of, you know, you being able to grasp this energy that you can't see, you can't touch, you can't measure, and just riding with it. I mean, there's been times where we've all been there, where you can't do anything wrong. And hopefully that this continues for me. I'm just going to keep on going, and it's a great feeling to have. And Mark Davis is riding it on the Elite Series. You can't tell me that doesn't exist, where he's going tournament. The guy hasn't been, well, I mean, I'm not talking shit about him, but the guy hasn't really been extremely relevant or extremely in the limelight for 15, 20, whatever, whenever he won the last Angler of the Year in early 90s, I think, 20, 25 years. So he's right. He hasn't finished worse than fourth this year. So it's been awesome to watch that. And, you know, you can't tell me that he's not riding some kind of awesome wave that he's grasped onto. He's not doing anything different than everybody else. He doesn't have a magic lure. He doesn't have a magic scent. He's not figured something out. Obviously you can't do that. You're fishing different bodies of water, for Christ's sakes. There's not much you can apply from body to water to body of water. I mean, the only thing I've ever saw that a guy just stuck with one thing was a few years ago when Skeet Reese was using that Rago reverse hitch swim bait. He was just throwing it everywhere, and he was catching smallmouth on it and on Smith Mountain, and he was going catching fish on Clear Lake with it, which is, you know, normal, but he was just firing the thing around, and it was just working, and that was just him riding a wave of confidence in that bait. So Mark Davis might have that right now, but it's good to see some old veteran just dominating everyone, and I'm glad that they changed that. Because say what you want about Skeet Reese, I don't have any hatred towards the guy. He's a stud fisherman. And in 2009, even though KVD is like my favorite angler, my favorite anglers, he had no business winning Angler of the Year that year. Skeet was dominating that season. So I don't know what my point is, but it was, I just don't think I'm glad they changed it back. So I think Mark Davis is going to hopefully win this, and it's cool to see. But yeah, so I kind of went back to tonight and the storms, because Jason and I were talking, and he was talking about how he was out on Sunday and how his line was buzzing and it wasn't touching the ground, it wasn't touching the water because of all the static electricity and from the lightning storms, and it's a scary thing, and I don't condone it, but we've all been there. Out on the water when you shouldn't have been out on the water, especially during a tournament situation where you're essentially flipping and you're holding a giant lightning rod in your hand. And it literally, sometimes I've had it where my rod, when I've lifted it to, you know, move the jig or whatever I was doing, you felt like it's a damn lightsaber you were holding to get back to those Star Wars fans that might listen to this. But it's treacherous, and it's a scary sport, and I was talking to some people this weekend or whatever, and I don't even bother telling people anymore that really don't care, because I don't need to promote what I do as any to anybody that doesn't really care. So I'm not looking for any recognition or anything. I do it because I love to do it, not because I want some guy to tell me, "Oh, Tyler, that's awesome. You're a great fisherman." I don't care. It just doesn't bother me. It doesn't really affect me. So those people obviously these people don't know the sport, and these people don't know anything. They're just rebel rousers. They like to get a rise out of you if they start talking garbage about, "Oh, fishing, that's stupid, boring," and blah, blah, blah. Well, I would love to take one of those people out for a week of my life. Now, I work 40 hours. I come home. I usually go right out on the water, whether I have league or whether I'm just fishing. Go to bed, wake up, go work out, go to work, do the same thing over and over again. Dick with tackle, do podcasts, do all this, you know, all this stuff, and see how burnt out they get. Now, it's something that you can easily talk garbage about unless you've never been there, but you come out with me during a storm or during really bad situation, during really bad conditions, and you will think twice about saying stuff like that. And it's just the uninformed people. Casey and I always talk about, like, the conditioning that it takes to be an angler, and especially when you're talking about 4-day tournaments. Any NFL player, we've always attributed or always argued that any NFL player would have a tough time, you know, not getting worn out, because it's a different kind of conditioning. Like when I play basketball, that my conditioning is different than if I was run. You know, I can probably last longer than any marathon runner, because it's a totally different type of conditioning. On the basketball court, I should say, not marathon running. It's just a different type of conditioning, and fishing is just no exception. You know, you sit there and you wonder, and you come home and you're beat to hell, and sometimes you don't even take a nap, and all of a sudden you're just running on fumes. And those people don't understand that, and they don't see that side of the fishing. They don't see the blood, sweat, and tears side of the angling and all the work that goes in, all the hours and hours and hours on the water that go in, all the hours of you thinking about it, all the hours of you preparing for it and reading this, reading that, listening to podcasts, listening to interviews, doing everything that you can get to that edge. And, well, that segues pretty nicely into this situation. I don't know if you guys have seen that Wired to Fish article or anything about those guys that cheated out on Gunnersville. It's just so pathetic. And those people that, first of all, cheating in general. Now, I don't know what type of lives those guys have or how you can even remotely get off on cheating something. It just doesn't, it never is going to resonate with me on why you would even do it. The feeling you get, what satisfaction is there? I don't know. I've talked to Jeremy about this, and this is one of the ways that I view life in general, is like, why take shortcuts? Because then at the end of the day, you're not going to be fulfilled. And what's the point? I mean, yeah, you get some money off of cheating in a tournament. Congratulations. But that money goes away. It's not what you go for. If you were in it fishing for the money, you wouldn't fish. And I told Jeremy, I'm like, anybody ever play Grand Theft Auto 3 when they were, you know, in grade school? It was awesome to get or grade school, whatever time you played it. It was awesome to get those cheat codes when you had unlimited ammo, but it got boring after about, I don't know, 2-3 days. It's like, well, this is stupid. Why even bother? And I don't know, like, what I'm trying to go with this, but those guys that cheated, I mean, come on. You tie up your fish to a dock post, have like a little thing, and you know, you look at them and you're just, now I see them, I'm looking at their picture right now, and I got this visceral reaction to these people. It is one of the most pathetic things I've ever even heard, that these guys are cheating local night tournaments. Even just, first of all, cheating in the bass circuit is, in general, is just such a bullshit, terrible thing to do. And I don't know. I'm glad that these guys got, it's just this balanced thing that, you know, you do this and it's going to get back at you. These guys are not going to be able to fish a tournament or anywhere for that matter without getting that evil eye now. Everybody's going to know Bass Whackers. Everybody's going to know it. And good job. Congratulations. I hope you won a little bit of money and supported yourself off of, you know, cheating good people and people that are out to just to fish and not. That's why, you know, whenever I hold tournaments, I don't do live well checks, because guess what? If you want to bring in a 5-pounder, that's all, that's your doing. And the universe has a way of working itself out. You're going to get caught for that. Not, maybe not necessarily in a way that is quantifiable, but you'll pay for it. And I'm a firm believer in that. So these guys, I'm glad to see these dickheads get all they need. And they actually got arrested. That's how Gunnersville, how awesome Gunnersville is. And, how awesome Alabama is in general with how serious they take fishing. And I don't think that would ever be the case up here, but it's cheating people. It's taking money from people. It's technically stealing. And good for that. Good for the sport that they got out of it. And they're not going to be able to, fish anymore. It's just that they're not going to be able to fish without getting that stigma attached to it. So kudos to them for cheating the sport, and kudos to the sport for shoving the foot up their ass. So that was my thoughts on this. Now, I'm glad to, happy to announce that nobody really has talked garbage about my stance on that Donald Sterling thing or anything for that matter, because what I like to do is when I rant, I like to post things that aren't arguable, really. And that's probably why we haven't caught much flack. I like to do things. You can't really argue with a question. I'm just one of those type of people that just questions everything, not really someone who has strong opinions. I have strong opinions in some things, but, you can't really argue with a question. If I say, well, how is it that, the ancient astronaut theory, well, why isn't it true? Well, it's stupid. Well, I didn't say it was right. I mean, it could be. You never know. It might be right that aliens seeded the earth. There's a lot of evidence that say it did. I mean, I don't personally believe it, but I could defend it tooth and nail if anybody wants to come on the podcast and talk some sense into me. I'd love to do it, because I'm a, like I said all the time, I'm a complete nerd, and I love aliens and I love conspiracy theories. And if you want to start talking about the ancient astronaut theory with me, it'd be awesome. I'd love to do it. So that offer's out there. Before I get to the end, I'm going to close it out pretty soon. I got some stuff to do. But guy on Twitter, now, I usually ask before my podcasts that anybody got any suggestions, blah, blah, blah. Okay, this guy, John Bash, @a_of_bash. Did I say splash of bass? I meant bash. But anyways, he came up with the idea that we should have, or I should do, a Elite Series style, NFL draft, in honor of the NFL draft. And it was just awesome. I'm sitting in my truck driving today, and I'm like, oh, that's a beautiful idea. I'm going to run with this. And I was going to do it today, but then, I started getting in my own head, and he opened up a complete can of worms. So now I'm planning on doing that. In the near future, I don't like to make plans anymore, because a lot of times every time I say it, for some reason, it ends up falling through. So I apologize for that when I say these things, but this one's going to be funny. I'm going to do all 32 teams, the first round. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to draft the Elite Series pros that I think would go in the top 32. And for the reasons, I'm going to do different voices, and I'm going to act like I'm Mel Kiper, got a big board going. I got, trades, maybe, potentially. We got a lot of potential number one picks. It's an open draft this year, so watch out for that one. I've been having problems with Casey and mine's podcast because of the issue I had with the skipping, whatever. So I might wait to do that Froggen episode till I go have the first tournament with him in May 24th. So we might try and do another Skype one of the Elite Series draft. So thanks a lot, dude, for that. That you guys. Anything you guys want to hear, please, please just throw it on Twitter, and I'll run with it the best way I can do. Because, I obviously have no shortage of things to talk about, But, this is pretty outstanding. Keith Combs won the Toyota Texas Bass Classic again. It's the third time in 4 years. And did you guys watch it? If you guys didn't watch it, I suggest, or hear about it, read about it, The dude caught 110 pounds over 3 days. Not over four. 110 pounds over four, 3 days. Which is an outstanding number for 4 days. And which is what? A 36.5, 37.5 pound average? Lake Fork is kicking out some things. And Keith Combs is one of the best Texas anglers. Kelly Jordan used to be that. This guy is a stud fisherman. And I think Russ Lane took third or whatever, but wait, let me see. How did he win by? I don't know. It was crazy. I can't wait to watch that on TV. I don't know. I air it usually in the midsummer, I think. I don't know when it's aired. But yeah, so check that out. Maybe he'll have might have helped his draft stock for the NFL draft thing. So yeah, 30 minutes. I might keep this one short. Amazon.com. I just ordered a t-shirt that I'm going to definitely wear for tournaments. It's called, and it says, Bill Nye or Die. And it's got a picture of an atom behind the text. And it's written in the old Bill Nye the Science Guy text. And he's one of my favorite human beings on the planet. I can't wait to rock that for tournaments and get the looks coming. So yeah, you can get anything on Amazon.com. If you're a fan of Bill Nye, his stuff's on there. I've watched him since I was a kid. So, but hey, I want to take off. I got a tournament to win tonight. So so you guys keep up with the interactions. I'll hopefully have another podcast coming up real soon. I've been a little bit lax I've been fishing a lot and been a little busy. So bear with me. I'll bear with you if you guys aren't interacting with us. I don't like it. So I urge you to continue to interact. I'm going to get out of here. Later.